Well, welcome. He's risen indeed. Every year we always seem like we put him back on the cross. We put him back in the tomb, and we sometimes take him back out of the tomb during the year. But you know, he's risen indeed. We don't need to put him back in the tomb. The message I have today or this evening is called Transforming Lives on Easter Sunday. It's called the Resurrection Power. You know, there was a lot happened on Easter Sunday many, many, many years ago. And as we gather today to celebrate Easter Sunday, here we're on Easter evening, we are reminded of the glorious truth that happened that Easter Sunday. And that's what lies at the core of our faith, of who we are as Christians, is his resurrection. If there was no resurrection, there would be no Easter. And Scripture tells us that. I had another message in mind, and God just switched it up during the middle of the week. But I'm reminded that we listen to that still small voice, and I believe the message that we have tonight is for each and every one of us. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is what we need to remember. So, the resurrection power transforms us, you know that. It makes us be more Christ-like. We don't realize that. Without Christ's strength, how can we get through another day, or how do we make the next moment? I heard someone this week says, how do you get out of the bed in the morning with the world being so crazy like it is? Because I have Christ living within me. And when I set my feet on the ground, the first thing I thank him every day is I thank him for getting me up in the morning. And I said, no matter what that day holds, he holds that day. And I can face it with him. So as we gather today to celebrate Easter Sunday, we're reminded of that glorious faith. The heart of our faith. We're here to commemorate. When we get together each Easter, each year, we're here to commemorate the triumph of Christ's life over death. Hope over despair and light over darkness. We think about that today. Those are truths. Think about that. Light overcame the darkness. And hope overcame despair. And life overcame death. He gave us the hope of eternity. So let us explore some of these transformative power of the resurrection and how it impacts us. Someone said, well, you know, what does it have to do with me? Well, he went to the cross for you and I. He laid in the tomb for 3 days. He resurrected to give us the hope of eternity, to put us in right relationship with God the Father. The first promise we have in is found in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And I'll read the scripture. It says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? He was talking to Martha. We have to go back to the story of Lazarus so we can see where Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. But for us today, he's telling us that if we are in Christ, we will live for eternity. Even though this body passes away, we have the hope of eternity. That's something hard for us in our humanity to comprehend eternity. My son said to me the other day, he said, what will we do for eternity, Dad? I said, we'll be praising God. He said, you mean you'll be singing? We'll be singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, someone said, how boring is that? That's not boring, because we'll be in the presence of Jesus. We have lots of questions when we get up there we're going to ask him. And you know what? When we get there, we won't even remember them. When we see him face to face. But Jesus was telling Martha here that he is the resurrection and he is the life. He's the giver of life eternal. But he's also the giver of life here. Someone said, well, you know, that's something after I pass away. No, God is here to help us through each and every day of life.
Amen.
Without him, how do we get up in the morning? Without him, how do we face uncertainties? You know, we don't know tomorrow when the doctor gives us a report and says, Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but your cholesterol is over the limit, and you have hardening of the arteries, or you have this, and you have that. No matter what, we have our faith in God. I can tell you miracle after miracle where God has done things in my life. He's shown me that, you know what? What he did on the cross for me was giving me the hope of eternity. But in this passage, like I said, Jesus declares himself as the source of the resurrection and life eternal. His words to Martha reveals the promise of eternal life for all who believe in him. We have to believe in him. We have to believe who he was and what he did for us. As we reflect on Easter Sunday, we're reminded of the assurance that we have in Christ. That's our hope today. He gave us a promise that death is not the end. There are many, many people that don't believe that in the world today. They think when you pass away, that's it. It's darkness. It's done. It's over. But the scripture tells us you're either going to go one way or the other. If you believe in him, you repent and you believe in him and you trust in him and you walk with him and you read his word, you have the hope of eternal life with him. But if you don't, you have a hope of eternal life in another direction. But death is not the end. It's only a transition from this life to eternal life. We'll have life eternal with him. The promise of the resurrection brings us hope and comfort in this life, no matter what you face, knowing that we have a future secure with the Lord. Jesus' statement to Martha in this scripture in John chapter 11, 25 through 26, it tells us of his divinity, his authority over death. None of us have authority over death. We can't change anything, but he had the authority over death. And he's the giver of life. By proclaiming himself as the resurrection in the scripture in John chapter 11, he reminds us that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus was giving an assurity, or assuring us of the reality of the resurrection. It was to come. It was going to happen. He was telling them it was going to happen. He was telling Martha it was going to happen. And it gives us the assurance of eternal life. Do you get the message here? Eternal life. When we pass away, we're going to live eternally in one way or one place or the other. So we have the promise of resurrection. So that's the first promise, the promise of resurrection in John 11, 25 through 26. The second point is the power of the empty tomb. Very significant for us today to know the tomb was empty. There are many stories. They stole his body. They took him away. But I'm here to tell you that he rose. The scripture tells us in Luke 24, verses 1 through 7, says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. If he was still there, then he didn't resurrect, did he? Right? No one stole the body. But then two men suddenly appeared, and they were terrified. They were shocked. I have a picture. I like to do artwork. And this is one of my artwork, digital artwork. I was saying, how could we depict what it looked like, Mary and Martha at the tomb? This is one of my digital artworks. It's quite interesting. You can look at their faces because they're terrified. They're like, whoa, he's gone. Where is he? And who are these two men that showed up? Who are these people in these robes that are dazzling? But they were very terrified. It tells us that they bowed their heads to the ground, and the men asked them a question. You know what they asked them? What did they ask Mary and Martha?
Why are you here?
Why are you here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Right?
It's not here.
Hallelujah for that. And what did they tell them? He said, he is not here, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So I'm not selling my artwork, but I'm just showing you just a depiction. We have pictures in our mind, but this is what I pictured when I read that scripture. The account of the empty tomb in Luke 24 illustrates the power of the resurrection because he's no longer there. He was not in the tomb. And the discovery of the empty tomb and the proclamation of the angels fulfilled the promise of Jesus that he would rise from the dead. It's not something, just a good story. It happened for real. We have documentation. And as we go in the following weeks, some of the messages will be about those that saw Jesus, those that can testify to his resurrection. Like I said, the resurrection is not just a historical event written down in the book, but it's a demonstration of God's ultimate power over sin and death. The empty tomb serves for us today as a beacon of hope. When we think of a tomb, we say, oh, you know, we think of death, we think of dying, we think of loved ones that have went on. But we can look at the grave differently and say, our Savior has risen. It's a message of hope to us. It proclaims victory over the grave. Victory over the grave. So Jesus' resurrection, one, fulfilled the prophecy and told us of his divinity, who he was. Who else went to the tomb? The lady, Mary and Martha, went back and they told the disciples, they told him, somebody must have taken his body. He's not there. This is my rendition of what it would have been like. It says he went in, he peered in, and he didn't see, there was no body. I think they probably sat around, that's my assumption. They sat around and probably said, man, what happened? What happened to him? The third one is the commission to share the good news. So why do we celebrate Easter every year? Do we just commemorate it and just let it go until next year? We have a promise. We have a promise that we are to share the good news because he's not in the grave anymore. Our commission is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Say, Pastor, why do you want to talk about that today? But that's what we're supposed to be doing, sharing the good news. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just in Klamath Falls, not in Mauritius, not in Africa, all nations, to all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. It's the Great Commission. It's important for us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to give the good news. This Great Commission was given by Jesus. He was reminding us of what we're supposed to be doing. I like that one.
Nice.
That to me would be what I would think about when Jesus resurrected the empty tomb. I tried him with short hair, but it just didn't look too well. I don't know if he had long hair or not, but it doesn't matter. But he did resurrect from the grave. But the Great Commission is important for us. He commissioned his disciples to go and think about things on a global scale because he told them, he said, go into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. As a missionary for 7.5 years, I've been to what you call almost the uttermost parts. It's about 12,000, 13,000 miles from here. And there's still uttermost parts beyond that. But sometimes our uttermost parts of where we're to go is right here in Klamath Falls. Could be our neighbor. Could be the people in the next town. But we have a message of hope. We have a gospel. We have an authority that's given to us from heaven. Jesus assured his disciples, he gave them the assurance and the confidence that as they engage in the work of evangelism and discipleship, he would be there with them. That same call is for you and I today, that we share the good news. We don't put him back in the tomb. Think about it today. Do you still think he's still in the tomb? No. He came to give us the hope of eternity today. So I want us to think about it today. When we think of Easter, think about sharing the good news with somebody, inviting somebody here, inviting somebody to church. So I want to read Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 again. The New Living Translation says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. There, go for and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It also tells us to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. Sometimes we get people saved on Sunday morning or Sunday night, whichever we worship, but we forget one thing. We leave them there. We don't follow up with them. Pastors are great for getting people down front. But then what happens after that? We tend to forget. We say, okay, they made a profession of faith, and we don't teach them. There are many people there who don't know what Easter's all about. They think of Easter eggs. They think of Easter bunnies. You know?
Pagan.
What's that?
I said pagan.
Pagan, yeah. They think of things like that, or the sale at Walmart, or the sale that's in the clothing store. In the sale papers, people can't wait for Easter because it's another day to get 20% off. You know? But that's not going to give them the hope of eternity. Only a personal relationship with Christ will give you the hope of eternity. You know? I had a friend just pass away not recently, and it was unexpected. But you know what? His wife had the hope of seeing him again one day in eternity. She said, you know, I was sad that he passed, but he was suffering. He was on oxygen, about 16 liters of oxygen, but he went all of a sudden like that. And she said to me, she said, but I have the assurance that I will see him one day because he was a Christian. He had the hope of eternal life. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more medicines, no more heartaches, no more problems, no more bills, no more this, no more that. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I will see, when I look upon that cross that he died for me. And when I look at the empty tomb, he rose for me. That's our promise today. So as we're going to partake of communion here, I want us to take a moment to search your heart and life. Taking communion is a sacrament in the Church of the Nazarene. We take communion in remembrance of what he did for us. We were talking the other day about the elements, and sometimes we think these elements become the body and the blood of Christ. But the Bible tells us that they're there to represent. They're telling us of his shed blood for you and I, for our sins, for the redemption, and the body that was broken for you and I, the sacrifice that he made. You know, we take it so lightly like that, and then we just go on with life, not realizing until we hit rock bottom, and then we say, oh Lord, why? You know, and then we come back to church. And then when things are fine again, we leave. That's not the way it works. A relationship with Christ is a work in progress. We're all works in progress. Even Pastor Doug is a work in progress. You know that? I don't put myself above somebody else because we're all working, a work in progress. So I want you to know that. I don't put myself up here. I like the pulpit down here. That's good. As we're going to partake of communion, I want us to remember what he did, what this weekend is about, but also remember that he rose from the dead and we have the hope of eternity. So as we go through, we'll take a moment of silence and search your hearts and minds and take it worthy and out of respect. Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for the power of the resurrection.
Lord, that it's all been said and done. It's finished. Lord, as we are going to partake of communion, we're reminded of what transpired this weekend. But Lord, we're also reminded that one day we'll have communion with you again in heaven. And we'll all be together. But Lord, just help us search our hearts and minds as we take a moment and before we take communion, that we take it in right relationship. So you can come forward and you can get the elements, and then then I will read. You might take it all together.
Says the Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can take and eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for communion. We thank you as you remind us of what you did for us many, many years ago. And Lord, we thank you that you rose from the dead, and that you give us the hope of eternity. And Lord, help us each and every day to be grateful and to be thankful for all that you've done for us. And Lord, help us to share the good news throughout the year with someone else that needs to hear it. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
pretty much one pie per person, so. About one piece, one pie.
Let me get those cups.
Pardon?